As we've been reporting, Terri Schiavo died this morning. The brain-damaged woman, who was at the center of a national and international debate that lasted years and involved the Vatican, the White House, the Congress, and the U.S. Supreme Court. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports from Pinellas Park, Florida.
Terri Schiavo's story began as a private family dispute over the fate of a brain-damaged woman. When she was 26 years old, a heart attack stopped blood flow to her head, and she entered a persistent vegetative state. Her husband said she would have wanted to die. Her parents disagreed. By the time the 41-year-old's death was announced this morning, millions of people were paying attention. News helicopters buzzed over Woodside Hospice as David Gibbs, the lawyer for Terri Schiavo's parents, stepped before a bank of microphones.
While they are heartsick, this is indeed a sad day for the nation. This is a sad day for the family. Their faith in God remains consistent and strong. They are absolutely convinced that God loves Terri more than they do.
Later in the afternoon, Terri Schiavo's sister, Suzanne Vitadamo, spoke with reporters.
As you are aware, Terri is now with God, and she's been released from all earthly burdens.
Religion played a major role in this story from the beginning. Schiavo's parents, Bob and Mary Schindler, are devout Catholics. In their fight to keep their daughter alive, they received support from church groups, and four times the Vatican issued statements affirming the Schindlers' belief that their daughter's feeding tube should not be removed. Today, the Vatican condemned the death of Terri Schiavo as a violation of the principles of Christianity. Many of the protesters gathered outside of the hospice were also devout Christians. Once Schiavo's death was announced, they gathered around to pray.
Jesus Christ.
Some here said their religious beliefs provided solace. Reverend Ed Martin had been holding vigil here for nearly a month.
We're all saddened by the news, but as a Christian, I feel rejoicing that, you know, Terri graduated this morning and she's with Jesus, and we're just happy about that.
Michael Schiavo, Terry's husband and guardian, maintained for years that his wife never wanted to live in a persistent vegetative state. His lawyer, George Filo, said this afternoon that Michael Schiavo had been living in the hospice for the last 2 weeks since the court allowed his wife's feeding tube to be removed. He spent most of that time by her side.
Mr. Schiavo's overriding concern here was to provide for Terri a peaceful death with dignity. And I emphasize it because this death was not for the siblings and not for the spouse and not for the parents. This was for Terri. She has a right to die peaceably in a loving setting and with dignity, and that was his overriding concern.
She died just after 9 o'clock this morning. Michael Schiavo was with her. Filo says she had a stuffed animal tucked under her arm, and there was quiet music playing in the background. After she died, a crowd of hospice workers gathered around her.
Many of these hospice workers have cared for Terri for over a five-year period. I can't describe in words their dedication. There were nurses and workers who refused to go home because at the end of their shift, Terri hadn't passed away yet.
This case had been in the courts for the last 7 years. In that time, every judge that heard the case sided with Michael Schiavo. It went before state and federal courts. The U.S. Supreme Court 6 times refused to intervene, most recently last night. But despite the court's consensus, elected officials often sided with the Schindlers. That was at odds with public opinion polls showing a majority of Americans objecting to government intervention in the case. Florida Governor Jeb Bush repeatedly tried to help the Schindlers. Today, he said he wished he could have done more.
That's the sadness in my heart. The duties I have, I take seriously, and there are a lot of really dedicated people that have worked really hard to protect Terri Schiavo in this office. And in the end, there were limitations on what we could do.
Lawmakers in Washington also spoke out today. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay had championed a law that allowed the Schindlers to bring their case to federal court. Today he issued a statement saying, "The time will come for the men responsible for this to answer for their behavior." Now the crowds in front of the hospice are dissipating. The posters with Terri Schiavo's photograph have been taken down, and the news helicopters have flown away. But the dispute still isn't over. Michael Schiavo has called for an autopsy. He wants to show the world the extent of his wife's brain damage. But anti-abortion activist Randall Terri, a spokesman for the Schindlers, says an autopsy will not convince the parents that their daughter was beyond recovery.
The autopsy can show which areas of the brain had damage, but it cannot show if if new technologies that are on the table right now would have proved that she was in a minimally conscious state, or if various new treatments would have brought her to the point where she could begin to have certain elements of speech again.
Doctors agree that an autopsy will not prove that Terry Schiavo was in a persistent vegetative state, as court doctors diagnosed her to be. Michael Schiavo plans to have his wife cremated and buried in his family's plot near Philadelphia, where they both grew up. The Schindlers would like to see their daughter buried in Florida. They've not announced any plans for a family memorial service. According to a spokesman for the parents, the Schindlers resisted thinking about it. Until the last day, they wouldn't admit that their daughter was going to die. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Pinellas Park, Florida.